All right, let's prepare our hearts for a time of worship. Sing praises to the Lord. Like a bunch of us are up at the camp somewhere. Is that where that is?
CRC.
Is it a worship camp or something like that? Yeah. Because I texted everybody, and it's like radio silence, you know.
No reception.
Probably a good thing, yeah? All right, Lord, will we just take this time, Lord, to just really open up our hearts and just sing your praises, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that you and your word says that you inhabit the praise of your people, Lord. Lord, it would say like a presence, a special presence, Lord. And we just pray that would be true here today, and that you'd have your way and you would transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before the light, before the world revolved around the sun, God on high stepped down into time and wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder so that we always remember you and I. silver, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be
proclamation, sometimes not able to kind of get to that point, ready to do his will. I mean, we're in a process. We're in a process. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We kind of get caught up or swept away about the cares of the world. And Lord, I just pray that just pray an intercession for ourselves, actually. Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, here for you. Lord, I just see that you're tugging at our heartstrings right now. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? Are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame. A sinner called my name. Thank you for saving me. Let's go ahead and stand. Thank you. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God. You got something to say, maybe? Or not?
Awesome to be here. Yeah. It's my first day here, and it's awesome to be here. And my daughter, Ted.
Hi, Ted.
Glad you're here, too.
You called me out upon the water, the great unknown, where feet may fail. There I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes upon the ways. My soul will rest in your borders. Let me walk away.
Isaiah, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What is that song, the middle of that? Take, we just sang it, take my feet deeper and then... Put the last,
go to the feet part.
The feet part, there it is. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger. Lord, that's our prayer this morning.
Amen.
That's our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hey, before you're seated, you don't have to all flock around TR and Mercy, but you can greet each other, but congratulate TR and Mercy, whoa, brand new grandparents.
Our miracle baby is born.
Miracle baby. And her name is?
Tommy Augusta, after her grandma. Oh. So we've gotten used to it. Takes a while, but, you know, it's all going to be good.
And
it has a lovely story. So
is the birth date yesterday or
no,
today?
No, it was actually this morning.
This morning.
Yeah, we didn't know that until today. Wow. It was this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the exact
right
time.
Right at the break of midnight, though.
7 pounds, 4 ounces. Ian and Kesley are doing great. Yeah, she's just chubby.
Wow.
She's adorable. And yeah.
How many pounds did you say?
7 pounds, 4 ounces. So
that's a good size.
Yeah.
Just
right. Just
right.
Yeah, she's very peaceful, Ian says. He's up there skin bonding at the moment while Kesley sleeps, so we can't wait to meet her.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for your prayers. You know that this baby is a miracle.
Yes. So not only congratulations, but thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, welcome each other. Greet each other.
Hey, good to see you guys.
Put a comma in your chit chat. Yeah, go ahead.
Say that again.
Fret not. The ladies' prayer group is at my house 7 o'clock tonight. You want to know when?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Yes, tomorrow night.
Good. Good, good.
Yeah.
Well, good to be together. I am kind of anxious to hear how it goes. Bob was actually teaching one of the workshops yesterday. I'd hoped to get up there, and it just did not work. But anxious to hear about all of that and the gang that's up on the hill. If you've never been to CRC, Christian Renewal Center, up just beyond Silver Falls State Park, so that gives you an idea. It's just like a mile. What is it, a mile from the North Falls? Something like that, if that. Uphill, yes. Definitely uphill. But I realize here we are at the end of July, and no doubt you've noticed the days are already getting shorter. I looked at, and the days since the end of June, already less, an hour less of daylight. Don't you enjoy hearing about that, yes? In fact, I realize it's going to be Christmas soon. It's my way of leaning into our visit from our Korean kids. They're either visiting Christmas time or soon after, so we're very anxious. Jenny is growing every day, talking. She's bilingual already, 8 months old, just under 8 months, and she's saying, what's the Oma? Oma, Opa.
Oh, that's Grandma and Grandpa. Good for her.
Well,
yeah.
In German, in Oma is Mama, and Opa, Papa, and she says both Oma, Opa, and Dada and Mama. So anyhow, she's a prodigy. You know, I'm just. Hey, as I begin today's message, I must tell you about, our messages, service is, including the worship, I believe, is posted online. And we don't get a lot of hits like some of the big name. I'll look at some of the big name, Jack Hayford and different ones, and some of them, a million hits, people or views and stuff, but so I don't get a lot of hits, but I did receive a meaningful comment from a lady, and she writes, "Your sermons have meant so much to my husband since he lost his mind." I'm not sure what that means, but the next 2 weeks or more, I'm wondering if this is the final text for a season. I want to preach this prayer. It's my way of saying, I want to preach this prayer this morning. It's the prayer Paul had for the Ephesian church. Actually, it's one of the prayers. And it's also the prayer Karen and I have for you. So, in fact, let me pray before I pray or preach a prayer. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be together today. Worshiping you and just enjoying. It was so heart-lifting to just hear the fellowship and the joy of the saints being together. So, Lord, pray your blessing on our time. Pray your word speaks to our hearts and your blessing on the other half of us up on the mount, CRC. We just pray your blessing this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 13. And Paul has been in writing to them, and I, without giving all the details, just the unity, basically praying for the unity of the church. There is such a division between the Gentiles and the Jews, and today we have there just seems like there's always some something opposing the unity of the saints. And so Paul prays this prayer, and he says, therefore I ask, or I'm inserting, therefore five things I pray. First, that you do not lose heart. That you do not lose heart. Second, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Third, that Christ may dwell, the Spirit of God would dwell in your hearts through faith. Fourth, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Fifth, that you may be filled. That you may be filled, or the NIV adds, to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. No small request, yes? Amen. No loss of heart. Strength of spirit, that Christ, or that there would be Holy Spirit indwelling, that we'd be grounded in love and filled with fullness, filled with the fullness of God, filled, in fact, overfilled to overflowing. In one word, so those are the five requests that I've condensed there, but in one word, this prayer is all about intimacy. All about intimacy. Intimacy with God, with the Spirit of God. So my prayer is that you may be filled, as I said, to overflowing with all the fullness of God. Amen. I think I'll continue just a bit more, though. This morning I want to focus primarily on just the first aspect of that prayer, that you do not lose heart. You know, this is the thing that Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified, the night of his betrayal. He prayed it for his disciples. In John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. And then goes on, to encourage them. And he says, in essence, do not do not lose heart. Don't let, he's telling the disciples, don't let trouble dominate your heart. Or it will. It will. Don't let your heart be distressed. The Greek, it's kind of a fluttering, if you will. You know, just an overwhelmed, allowing the circumstances, the issues of life to overwhelm. That the song I think the lyrics, there are the lyric in that song, the Oceans, your feet will fail and fear will definitely surround you. There, it's just a reality. Our feet fail. Am I the only one? And there are times where you just feel surrounded, just constricted or paralyzed with fear. And Jesus is saying, stop that. Don't allow, don't yield to your fear or allow trouble to dominate you, to dominate your heart, because it will. And I love the phrase. It's always struck me. It says, it's like, do not fear, do not be afraid. Or fear not, you know, there's this repeated, and it's like, that just sounds like we should never be afraid. We should never fear. But fear is something we always are going to experience. The real command is, though fear comes, though you are afraid, do not yield to your fear. Do not yield. And how many times that I have in the midst of crises or the midst of something overwhelmed and realize, you know, what's happening. I'm allowing that fear to dominate, to have greater power over me than it needs to have. And I will hear myself saying, I am afraid. Yes, this is overwhelming. Yes, this is troubling. Yes, this is too much even. But I will not yield to this fear. And in that moment, but I yield to you, Holy Spirit, and invite you in the midst of my fear, in the midst of my circumstances, I'm yielding to you. I'm waiting for you. I'm trusting in you. So yeah, there are more reasons than we can imagine to fear. And it's so easy to allow fear to rule. This is what I was trying to convey last week, confessing that Karen and I recognized that we were yielding to fear, allowing fear to dominate regarding some prayers that we had prayed over the years for our children and had ceased, had stopped. It was kind of like, it was a giving up. Oh, well, I guess you're not answering those prayers, God, and just moving on and realizing the Lord was just, and both of us, just stirring our hearts and saying, not only do you not give up, but you need to be relentless. That was the word last week, relentless. And not only not allowing fear or the absence of an answer to dominate, but to press in, to knock and keep on, to ask and keep on asking, and to keep on trusting and keep on hoping. So I've been encouraged by David's example. When I think of a man who demonstrates in the scripture intimacy with God, I think no one like other than David. David is the example. The one that might trump David, who would you might think that would trump David in regarding to intimacy with God?
Samuel?
Who?
Samuel?
Maybe. The one I'm thinking of? Enoch. The scripture says, I wrote it down, the scripture says, Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away. And that's just such a brief scripture, just this brief reference, but you just wonder about the intimacy, walking with God, that's communicated there with Enoch's relationship. But my point is that David not only models that, the Psalms are basically a syllabus on leading us into intimacy, and David, you know, just expressing the depths of his heart, his fears and his struggles and his failures and all that he's going through, and yet he presses into God, and to the extent that God calls David the man after his own heart. If that doesn't confirm intimacy, I don't know what does. Let me read the Psalms to you. All right, not all 150 of them, but just how about Psalm 13? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and my fears and my troubles, and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will die. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. If that's true, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then a few verses beyond, David writes, when you said, seek my face, my heart said back to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Again, just that pressing into God and realizing, so many times when I'm pressing into God, I'm not so much seeking his face. Honestly, I do want to seek God's face, but sometimes I'm more interested in seeking his hand, or his handout, if you will. Or just, in other words, the answer, and not that my prayers aren't important, and not that God doesn't want to answer my prayers, but instead of just looking for the answer, so often I've got my list, Lord. The Lord is really just interested. Can you just see my face for a while? Can we just talk a bit? Can we just spend some time together? And that's, I'm convinced that God allows, and I think sometimes designs troubles or difficulties so that we will press in. Everything going good, then, hey, God, we'll be in touch. You know, things are going well. I'll let you know if things change, and they will change. And then, okay, here I am, God. I'm desperate. And God wants us to come. It's not that God says, well, fine. So hand on hips. Yeah, I figured you'd be coming, calling when you got into trouble. God is always welcoming us, but how much more, in fact, how more does intimacy be developed when it's just God, here I am, God. I just want to start this day. Here's my heart. And I want your hand in my life, your blessing in my life, your touch. Lord, and David, other places, Lord, here's my heart. Is there anything that needs to be adjusted? Is there anything that needs to be changed? I feel like my motives are pure, but Lord, if there's an incorrect, impure motive, could you make that adjustment? That's what God desires, that we're just pressing in, just hearing His voice, hearing His heart for ours. Yes? I found myself writing this down. No intimacy, fear, trouble, anxiety will rule your hearts. A husband and wife drove for miles in silence after a terrible argument, in which neither would budge. Finally, the husband pointed to a mule in a pasture and says to his wife, "A relative of yours?" "Yes," she replied, "by marriage." An added prayer: may God increase intimacy in your marriage. I want to read these first couple of prayers back to you using the Passion Translation. So again, starting at verse 13. My dear friends, I pray that you will remain strong and not be discouraged. And I pray that God would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Question: why does popcorn pop? Curing. That's you're right. So, I was thinking about this, and I just. No, I'm not going to do it. But I said, "Hey Siri," and this is what she said: "Inside each kernel of popcorn is a tiny droplet of water surrounded by a hard shell or hull. As the kernel heats up, the water expands, building pressure. Eventually, the outer layer gives way, causing the kernel to explode. I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to remodel your soul. That there would be a renewing of your in your spirit, a renewing of your spirit, that there would be a renewed freedom. We talked about too often that we're controlled by the outside, you know, the outside circumstances and issues of life, instead of yielding to our circumstances And instead of yielding to our fears or our troubles or the things that challenge us, yielding to the voice, the power, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Instead of yielding to the external, yielding to the internal. Giving the Holy Spirit the freedom to reveal Himself through our lives. My prayer is for there to be a release, as I mentioned, an explosion even. That seems perhaps a little bit overkill, but that's as the Passion Translation, that there would literally be an explosion of the Spirit of God deep inside your spirit, enabling a greater capacity to be filled with all the fullness of God and all that means. I'm hoping to talk about and portray some of the fullness. God forbid that we could, in a short session, explore all the fullness of God, but I want us to at least take a peek of that. But may God enable a greater strength of spirit as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord with renewed faith and hope, and to know that as our faith is renewed, it's not based on when we've yielded to the Holy Spirit, even though we don't see what is going on, even though we don't see the explosion or the physical evidence, know that because we're praying, because we're calling upon it, because we're yielding to the Holy Spirit, because we know our God, we know that God is at work. He's doing stuff that we can't see. So we can sit back and not yield to fear, not yield to the trouble, and not yield to discouragement, because our faith is not based on sight or on feeling, but upon the Word of God and the intimate relationship that has developed over the time. Yes? Yes?
Amen.
So intimacy is all about the response of our heart. And that's why I love David being the example. God could not have designed a better example, because David was not, there's so many guys like Daniel, and I mean, we know that he was a man, but we don't see some of the things that we see in David, with David committing adultery and then trying to cover it up with murder and the like. And we see that did not disqualify David from intimacy with God. It really allowed the intimacy to even grow deeper, because David was, oh my God, I've sinned against you and you alone. And that's all God wanted to hear, because He is able to not only forgive, but to redeem. And so that's, God forbid that we would, in the midst of our failures, condemn ourselves and prevent a deeper intimacy with God. Yes?
Yes.
Let me close with this. Going back to Paul and him talking to the Corinthian church. This is at the end of chapter 3 and moving into my favorite chapter of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And you remember the lines that Paul says to them, that the Spirit of the Lord or he actually starts off by saying, the, I wrote it down, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yes? And then he goes on to say that we are being transformed into the image, the likeness of Christ, and therefore revealing his glory. And then that's the end of chapter 3. Then chapter 4, he says, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. We have, and I'm just kind of skimming through the chapter, but then we do not lose heart. We have this valuable treasure. Yeah, it's in jars of clay. and some of our jars are cracked or needing a little refurbishing. That's the visible on the outside, but inside we're being renewed daily. And that's why toward the end of the chapter he says, therefore, don't focus on the outward. Don't let the outside stuff dominate, but allow there to be a focus on the inside. And do not, he exhorts them again, do not lose heart. And when you see something in the scripture so often, it reminds us that we are all, it's not just, you know, when we're feeling things, when we're by ourselves and feeling like, gosh, I wished I was like Trudy. She's always got a smile on her face. Nothing gets her down. And and Marcy would be another, and Jody would be, I mean, you see that, and even though we know each other and we know that there are, but we embellish things. We all tend to lose heart. We all tend to allow trouble to dominate. We all tend we all lean that direction. God is saying, there's no need to yield to your fears. No need to yield to your troubles. Yield instead to my spirit and let my spirit have its work, even though, and this is what we don't like, even though in order for that popcorn to pop, yeah, the heat's got to rise beyond what we can handle. Yes? Yeah, we say yes with wrinkled eyes because we know that I'm addicted to comfort, I'm telling you what. Lord, we just simply, here's our heart. Here's our heart. And we ask that you give us your heart. Lord, could we just join together and Lord, knowing that that's really your prayer for us. Paul prayed this for the Ephesians. I'm praying this for the Philomathians. Lord, you're praying this for us. This is your heart, your desire, that we would know you, that we would seek your face, and that you would allow your spirit, that we would allow your spirit to renew us, explode even within us, your glory, your life, your fullness, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together. And Carla, it is so good to see you. So I've been texting with Rick a little bit, and gosh, I wish he were with you as well. So, yeah, I'm sure it's. We'll look forward to. We'll have to make a trip over to Bend, and you still living in the same place?
4 doors away.
Oh, okay, same area. Yeah.
Right.
Good, good. It was hot in Bend yesterday. So can I speak a blessing on you this morning?
Yes.
May the Lord move your hearts into a new depth of intimacy. That is a greater understanding of God's pure love for you and into Christ's steadfast endurance. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace even in the midst of troubles and fears. His peace at all times and in every situation. May the Lord be with you all. And TR and Marcy, may you explode with joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I think there's some goodies in the back. Make sure you grab some and hang around. There's lots of time before lunch.